Om Shanti. So for today's session on secrets of resilience, we have with us a very, very sweet Jayanti Venji, who is the additional administrative head of Brahma Kumaris and also the director of the services and activities in UK and the Middle East. And that's very little what I'm saying, but Jayanti Ben takes on so many responsibilities and continues to fly, giving the message of the light and might of knowledge and also the power of yoga to so many souls and bringing benefit to so many souls all over the world. Jayanti Benji actively travels and continues to spread the message of how knowledge can help in our practical life. For us, Jayanti Ben is our sweet angel who keeps flying and spreading the power of God's love to everyone. So it is our pleasure and fortune to have her with us. So thank you, Jayanti Benji.
Thank you for that introduction. I'm not sure that I fulfill all the things that she mentioned, but it's lovely to be here, and I'm sure you're enjoying the atmosphere of Gyan Sarovar. Yes? Yes? It's perfect timing in terms of climate, that it's not hot, it's not cold, it's just perfect, just right. So the organizing team chose a very good time for all of you to be here. In terms of resilience, my approach is going to be a spiritual one, which is what you would expect in this place. But I do believe that whatever people out there teach in terms of resilience, and there's a lot of workshops that happen, I know that it all depends on what's going on inside of you. And when I say inside of you, that doesn't mean your biological condition. It means your spiritual condition. You've seen how, just to give you a couple of examples on the physical level, you saw how when COVID came, everybody was very concerned, naturally. But also, we saw how where immunity was low, then they were able to get caught by the virus. And where immunity was strong and a person knew how to make their immunity strong and stable and took steps, simple precautions in terms of diet and supplements and so on, supplements from the kitchen cabinet, not even from a pharmacy, but things that are there available in the kitchen. So some people were able to resist the virus. The virus was around everywhere and highly infectious at times. But if you had your own resistance power, your immunity, you were able to have resilience. Or even if COVID did come, it came in a very mild form and it didn't impact your life. And for some people, when it came in a deathly way, or it came as long-term COVID, which we didn't even know about at the time, but we saw the results later. So depending on the immunity of the individual, the atmosphere was the same everywhere, but each one's response was different. Resilience is a little bit like that. And I don't mean physical immunity, but I mean the spiritual capacity of the individual. And why we teach meditation and practice meditation here is so that then we can build up our own inner capacity. So in a way, when people talk about capacity building, you're talking about external things. But in fact, real capacity is the power that I carry within, that enables me to deal with all situations in life on every level. I remember being in Mexico soon after one of the major earthquakes there, Some buildings were standing absolutely stable after the earthquake, and other buildings had crashed. And they were telling me that some buildings had been built with the awareness that Mexico is always open to earthquakes, but it had an inbuilt resilience so that it could sway just a little bit, but enough to be able to deal with the shock of the earthquake. And so those buildings, and of course the materials they used in some buildings were strong and resilient, and in other buildings where contractors didn't do what they were supposed to do, and so the buildings didn't have that capacity to be able to tolerate that. So this is the reality. How much resilience do I have? The world around me today is a little bit crazy. I don't need to list you all the crazy things that are going on in the world out there. You know more about it than I do, probably. And yet, even within this very negatively charged atmosphere, do you agree? It's a very negatively charged atmosphere out there. Who agrees? And those who didn't put up their hands, think about it, and I'm sure you'll agree. But how do I cope with all of this craziness that's going on? On one level, generally on a worldwide scale, but on another level, on a very personal scale. In the last few days, I've heard two stories about, and they both happen to be women, but two women who are having trouble at work. One because she was a whistleblower, and so seniors are trying to oust her. And another one who has already been ousted, and again, it's because she was very stable on her principles. So this is just within the last 2 days that I've heard these two stories. Powerful individuals, people with high-level capacity, but yet things go on. And it happens everywhere in the world, not just in one country or one city, but that's the state of the world. So I need to have a lot of inner resilience to be able to cope with all of these things that are going on. And who knows what more lies ahead. And so far I've mentioned earthquakes and people's responses to situations. But climate change is a big one. I don't know how many of you read the details that are published on websites or in articles or in the press, but the latest report from the IPCC, the international governmental body, tells us that things are getting worse and there's very little chance that we can reach a stable state of climate temperature increase up to 1.5 Celsius, we're headed towards 2 Celsius. And I don't know whether you know the repercussions of that. All the coastal cities around our wonderful country are in danger. And I'm not talking about 50 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. The speed with which things are happening is beyond what the climate scientists had spoken about. So expect a lot more upheaval to come to everyone. Because it doesn't matter which profession I'm in. When there's a tidal wave, when there's a tsunami, it doesn't see profession and it doesn't see any other position. It impacts everyone. So that's the state of the world and the state of human beings. So what do I do about it? I can't stop the earthquakes or the tsunamis at the present moment, we could have done earlier through changing our lifestyle, our habits, but I think we've gone past that. But what I can do is create power within myself to be able to manage whatever it is that's going on. You can stretch a rubber band so far, and if you stretch it beyond its resilience, it snaps. We hear about young people, and when I'm saying young, I don't just mean 20s and 30s, but even 40s maybe. But young people in their 30s and 40s having heart attack. That's been the recent news over the last few months. And it's simply because whatever are the physiological causes, and there's plenty of those, but the inner awareness is of stress and how I deal with it. And my own inner resilience will carry me through all the stress factors so that I'm able to cope with all of that and still keep smiling and still do what I need to do. Reflecting on the subject of resilience, I was thinking that a lot depends on my own view of myself. And most times there's a fluctuation. There's a superiority complex or an inferiority complex. And the same person goes through both. When I'm with others that I feel are less educated, less capable, less in many different ways, I'm fine. But when I come in contact with those who are more, or I perceive them to be more in terms of background, in finance, in power, in position, all sorts of things. And then my own self-esteem comes down a few shots. Agree? Yes? And where I have low self-esteem, and the whole question of identity and the identity crisis that the world is going through is a huge, huge one. Why? Because we have so many influences working on us today, not just at home, not just at work, but on a global level. Many, many different things impact us. And so our own confidence in ourselves begins to shake. And so self-esteem is one of the ways in which we can build inner capacity. And self-esteem doesn't mean superiority complex or ego, but it means having a very clear awareness of who I am and what are my own inner core values, and being able to align my inner core values with my day-to-day behavior. I can be aware of my core values, but then at the end of the day, I'm not able to sleep at night because I know that I wasn't being true to myself. I know what is right, but somehow influences move me in a different direction. And so my self-esteem gets affected. Or when I have habits, addictions, and I don't just mean substance addictions. Anger is an addiction, definitely. Attachment, ego, greed, all of these are addictions. And so the world today is very much in a pattern of addictive behavior. Addiction to screen time. And maybe it's your work and so you don't consider it to be an addiction. But there has to be downtime in which you don't have the inclination to keep checking what's going on every few minutes. And so many different types of addictions. Subtle things, gross things. And today's world where I'm pushed to my limits or beyond my limits, my addictive behavior seems to be a support for me. I let off steam with anger, or I go buy a new pair of shoes to calm myself down. Something. And so in that state of addictive behavior, again, my self-esteem is highly reduced. So these are two very common things that we can look at. How I'm responding to stress, my inner capacity for that, and how I'm aligned to my values in day-to-day reality. And the third, what sort of behaviors are addictive behaviors that I still carry in myself? And I don't know of any other method to actually change all of these things all together at the same time except through the power of meditation. And yes, there's so many meditations in the marketplace. It's become a marketplace. And so how do I know which one to go for? Well, try. Experiment. But there are three guidelines that you can use to check before you experiment, because there's too many parts to keep trying one and another and another and another. But a few guidelines, and then whatever remains, you can try those. One, if there's a place that says, just believe, without offering you any answers to your questions. Whoa, stay away. There's something not quite right here. And the second, if there's a personality cult, if everything revolves around a human being, it's not something that I would go for. Why? Because a human being can only offer temporary support and help, no more than that. So that's a lot of things you can cross off your list now. And the third, if they're charging you even a few pennies, never mind a big fat amount. Why? Because if there's spirituality, it does not carry a price tag. The reality is that nobody could afford it. Can you pay for the sunshine? What can you do? How much can you pay? During COVID times, there was an interesting story that went viral, and it was from Spain, and the daughter of the person who was one of the main people in Santander. And she wrote how her father had COVID, and it was only at that time he realized how valuable breath is and how valuable air is. And the condition was such that there were oxygen cylinders available at that point. Later on, there was a crisis, but not at that time. It was right in the beginning days of, early days of COVID. And she said that my father said in his last few moments, I had no idea that my wealth could not buy me breath. So, sunshine, spirituality, it's available. and it's available for all, and it's available freely for everyone. So three factors that you can use to see which type of meditation you want to experiment with. And the meditation I've been practicing for a very long time is Raj Yoga meditation, which focuses on just two things: the awareness of the inner being, who am I? And from the things I've shared already and the things that you've been hearing since you came here, there's a big, big difference between whatever it is that I need for the physical survival of this and the well-being of this, the body, but there's a whole different area that I need to look at in terms of the inner being, whether I call it soul or spirit or being or light, whatever name, but that inner being that can't be measured in terms of length, width, breadth or height. How do you measure beauty? By the length of somebody's nose? How do you measure the beauty of a rose? So you can see that there are things that are real. You can touch a rose, but how do you measure its beauty? Not by the size of the petals or the diameter of the flower, nothing like that. But yet, yes, it's real, even though you can't measure it in that way. In the same way, the inner being is beyond measure, but it's real, and I can find out a lot about it through my own inner journey and the experiments that I make for myself in terms of my mind, my feelings, my thoughts, my personality, all the intangibles that can't be measured but are real. So, resilience. The greater my self-esteem, the greater my inner capacity and my resilience to bounce back from situations that are challenging. And my value of myself depends on how well I know myself. And it sounds very strange. 20 years, 30 years, 40 years I've lived with myself, and I don't know myself. Is that possible? Definitely. I began my spiritual journey very early on, and so maybe I would have known a little bit more about myself had I started a bit later, but I don't know, I'm not sure. But certainly I would say that I knew only 10% of myself when I started my journey. And even today, I would say perhaps I now know 90% about myself, but there are still avenues to explore. And so, knowing myself means knowing both sides, the good and the not so good. If we make a list of what are my good points, and if we make a list of what are the not so good points, which would be the longer list? The good points. Okay, well that's good. But most people usually tend to know the negative side. And then some people know more the good side, and it's important to know both. The good side so that I can enhance it and use it more and more in my life, and the not so good so that I can be alert and aware and had the caution to be able to understand what's going on inside, so that then I can deal with it instead of allowing it to erupt. Because where I don't know the not so good, something happens and there's an explosion. And at that moment then, it's not possible to control. But if I'm aware and I'm alert, then I can use my inner power to make sure that it doesn't erupt. Because once there's an eruption, whether in words or in actions, you can't bring it back. It's done. It's done. And no matter how much I may regret it later, it's done. And there's a karmic responsibility for that. Words, and I can destroy a relationship, and I can apologize and be really regretting it, but the other person's heart has been hurt, and it's very difficult to erase that. May take months, may never happen in my lifetime. Actions, there's an indelible imprint left through the actions that I perform, both internally, because I've now created a pattern of behavior, with words also, but especially with actions. But also there's a repercussion that's going to come back to me, whether I want it or I don't. It's fixed. It's called karma. And that's absolutely a fact. Do good, and it comes back to you in a beautiful way. I do that which is not good, I have to reap the return of that. So eruptions are not the way to go. Yes, it comes up in my mind. We are all living in a very imperfect world with imperfect human beings. No one is perfect. It comes up in my mind. Now how do I deal with it? Is there a red signal that comes immediately and I'm able to change its direction so that it doesn't result in an explosion? Do I know how to talk to myself and be my own teacher? When was the last time I had a dialogue with myself? Can I remember? Was it this morning? If it was, excellent. And if it wasn't, do I scratch my head and say, yeah, I can't really remember. When was the last time I had an inner dialogue? But if I start practicing talking to myself when things are normal, then when things are tough, I know how to talk to myself and bring my mind back on track. It's like if you don't communicate with somebody, if you haven't built up that relationship, something goes wrong and you say, oh, I can't say anything to them. But if there's a good relationship, then you say, yeah, I can have a chat to them about this and try and see what's going on. Same thing. My emotions and my feelings can take over my reason and my conscience. And if I don't have the practice of talking to my feelings and my emotions inside me, I'm not going to be able to manage when things are a little rough. And so inner dialogue needs to take place, not just once a day, but whenever there's an opportunity through the day, just a little pause. Here's a question. When I finish one thing and before I start another, what do I do in that short, short, tiny space of time? Maybe if I'm walking from one room to another room, then I get a little bit more space. But otherwise, one person goes and it's a revolving door, and another person comes in, and by the time they sit down, it's seconds, no more than that. But if I take advantage of those seconds or those minutes when I'm walking down the corridor, then I prepare myself for what's to come, and I also process what has just happened. Just a very simple question for myself. I've finished one thing, and it's going to be seconds before the next thing begins. Can I just ask myself, could I have done it differently? Not better, not worse, just differently. My tone, my attitude, my vision, my body language. It doesn't take minutes to check all that. It's a very quick checklist. And having done that checklist, then you prepare yourself again within a moment. Come back to the awareness of who you are, that inner being, and be stable in that awareness of the inner calm when we say Om Shanti. Om, I am. Shanti and peace. And so in that awareness of Om Shanti, then in that stable stage, my attitude is wide open. And so when the next person comes, I'm better prepared than I was for the last person. I've learned from my encounter with the last person, and I'm more prepared now. And especially if I have time for a few minutes walking down a corridor, or even from one building to another building, I have a few more minutes. I can take that opportunity again to process and also prepare. But very often what we do is look at our mobiles and check, were there any messages? What is it that I need to see? And so those few precious moments get lost. Because people know I'm at work, they're not expecting an instant reply. And if it's a work reply, then yes, I know what's going on and I'm on top of it. But those moments of preparation that come in a very natural way, I'm not saying stop, I need to prepare, but I'm taking the opportunity as it comes. So resilience means self-esteem, which comes by knowing myself, and knowing myself comes through dialogue with myself, just as getting to know you. I might have whatever impression I have of you, but then it's by speaking together that we get to know each other. And so the inner dialogue, why did I say this? What was behind it? What was the feeling that made me say this? You'll discover how to converse with yourself as you go along, but these are just a few starting points. Just to be able to see more and more what's going on. But also then the checking of, am I aligned to my inner values? And if I'm not, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to say that, well, for the sake of money, it doesn't matter if I know that things are not right, but I continue to collaborate with that? Or maybe, yes, it's a big question, an existential question. Do I keep my job or do I follow my conscience? Might be as serious as that. But I just have to see, what is it that I'm comfortable with? What is it that I'm doing? And so, knowing myself and my inner core values, aligning myself to that means I'm increasing my inner capacity and my resilience. So things will come my way. They won't stop. They'll carry on. But the more I have self-esteem, the more I can absorb all of that and not let it impact my own inner state. Simple example. I get very stressed at work because I'm not managing. Stress is not a sign of importance. Sometimes people think, well, the more important you are, well, the more stressed you're going to become. Not true. Not true at all. The greater my inner capacity and my inner resilience, the less I'll get stressed. Because my capacity has increased. I'm managing things. And I have the capacity to juggle with many balls at the same time. And I don't have inner capacity, I'm going to let the balls drop one by one by one. But I end up being stressed and I get home. What happens then? The people I love the most are the ones I hurt the most, because it's a safe environment. But I'm expecting them to absorb my stress and have them deal with it. And of course, it's damaging for children, it's damaging for my partner, and it's not a healthy environment for anyone. And so can I find ways to deal with my stress so that then when I close the door, I've left that behind? That's not being irresponsible. That's making sure that I'm able to keep boundaries. And I don't allow the things that cause me stress at work to come back with me into my home. If I bring that stress back into my home, the next thing that's going to happen is a breakdown in relationships. That's going to cause me more stress. And that's not just going to cause me more stress. It's actually going to lead to a situation that's irreversible. And so my stress is my responsibility, not the responsibility of those who created stressful situations. It's how I respond to them and to the situations. That's not a big burden, because you deal with things as you go along. You learn to manage. And each day you meditate, even just a few minutes at a time, increase the ratio of that every day, every week, however it is you can manage. And what will happen is that your capacity is growing, your resilience is growing, and today you're able to deal with things differently than you did a week ago, 2 weeks ago, definitely. It's not a quick fix, but definitely the changes that happen, happen quite rapidly. It's not a question of meditating for a year and then seeing the results. No, you meditate a bit at a time, a bit at a time, and you see the results coming through very soon. For some faster than for others, that's also true. But it just means, well, how sincere am I in what I'm doing? And to actually have the faith in the self. Resilience has a lot to do, not just with self-esteem. Well, self-esteem is a big subject. But that faith in the self, that yes, that goodness is going to shine through, and also faith in my own decision making. And definitely, again, meditation is a big, big method, tool to use to develop that. At some point within the sessions that you'll have, you'll hear about developing your own inner power. And within that, there are two powers that are vital in today's world. Spiritual power anyway is necessary, whether people recognize it or not, but that is a foundation. But two powers that everybody will agree are absolutely vital in a world which is post-truth. 2016, a new word came into the English vocabulary, post-truth. Before 2016, it didn't exist. The ideas were there, but post-truth, that came. Brexit was happening in Britain, and American politics was taking a very different turn, and we got the term post-truth because there were so many false notions being propagated, especially through social media, and we came to a point where we had to learn to challenge, well, is this video actually real or not? And now, of course, you have AI, and that's going to add to the complexity of our world. It already is, but more and more so. And so the two powers that are vital today, the power to discern, how clear is my intellect? Am I able to get a feeling whether this is real or not real? True or false? And it's difficult, not so easy in today's world of post-truth and AI and all the other permutations that we are exposed to. So I need to have clarity. And the second, connected very much with that, is discernment and then decision-making. And maybe my decisions impact me alone. Maybe my decisions impact me and three others in my nuclear family. Maybe an extended family. Maybe they're decisions that impact 500 people in the company that I'm working for. Maybe my decisions impact 5,000 people. So decision making is important. Even if it's just for myself, me alone, though my whole life is at stake. At certain points, there are decisions that we make that determine the future course of my life, but also then further and further and further. And the clarity that comes with meditation is that you're able to see what is negative, what is wasteful, what is ordinary, and what is extraordinary, and what is elevated. Now, I know that there's positive thinking courses that are run across the world in many, many places. But the capacity to actually not just know between positive and negative, but what is waste? And a lot of our time and energy goes in waste. And if I learn to cut out the waste in my inner world, there's more likelihood of coming to clarity. But even ordinary, well, if I want my life to be mundane and ordinary, that's fine, that's my choice. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be mundane and ordinary. It can be extraordinary and unique. And it's not the role that you play at work. Sometimes it may be. not the position or the designation that's on your table or outside the door. It's who you are as that inner being. Your values, your qualities, and through that, your capacity. And so, developing my inner muscles. Some of you have time for workouts, some of you don't. And those of you who do workouts, you know that a little bit of practice, a little bit of practice, your capacity grows, your muscles grow strength, they develop. And so the more I develop my inner muscles, the stronger I can be. And so just increasing that time for meditation. And if I can increase the clarity of my thinking so that I can discern more clearly what are the factors and the energies at work in this situation, probably the better my decision. And not just a decision that's looking at the short term, but a decision that needs to be a bigger view, a wider view, not just for today or a year ahead. And in a world that's highly volatile, you don't know where the next explosion is going to come from. So let's see, who thought that Silicon Valley banks could just collapse? But, of course, there was a lot of information that was available. But nobody bothered to take it up. It's quite shocking. But it's okay. This is Kali Yuga, the Iron Age, the dark night that the world is going through. And the good news is that there's definitely light ahead. A better world ahead. Why? Because more and more people are aware and awake and alert. And so everything that happens teaches us if we want to learn from it. And there are people ready to learn. People who want to make sure that things can be better tomorrow than they are today. And I think that's what's probably attracted this group here. I'm sure you would not have given X days of your free time to come here if you were of ordinary stature. But each one of you, extraordinary, and you just have to enhance that further and further. So the checking that happens with the quality of my thinking is what can make me extraordinary and reveal the values and qualities and my capacity. And that is what creates resilience. If there's a building that's still standing when all the other buildings have collapsed, then you know that that building is a good one. And so when things are collapsing around you, in a little way or a big way, and you're still able to hold on to your inner peace and inner truth, then it's very clear that this is a person who doesn't take help, but is able to give help and give support to others. And so you can check your resilience. Am I needy? Am I waiting for cooperation and support from here and there, from family, from home, from work colleagues, from superiors, whatever, whatever? Or am I actually able to stand straight and clear and be a support for others around me? So probably there's a few doors there that you can walk through and explore further for yourself. So let's have the last few minutes of our time together experimenting with these ideas of meditation. stable, both feet on the ground or wherever. Back straight so that then you're alert. I'll share my own thoughts and invite you to follow these ideas. I decide I want to know more about myself. Then I go on an inner journey, going within, watching my mind, and as I watch, it's as if the speed of my thoughts slows down. And I can select the thought I would like to explore, the thought of peace. And I hold peace in my mind. And it begins to feel comfortable and very natural. I realize peace is my natural state of being. Not passive, but filled with power. Peace that carries strength. Peace that is stable and resilient. And in this awareness of peace, it is as if a door opens. And I discover that within myself, just as I am a being of peace, my natural state is of love. I am a being of love. And I go further, and I realize the truth lies within. This is who I am. A being of peace. A being of love. A being of truth. I hold this awareness. I come back to the place and moment here and now. But now, more in touch with myself. Now, in touch with my inner qualities. at my core values. Thank you for joining this experiment. And those of you who are experienced would have been able to feel that inner peace. And if you weren't, that's also okay. You just have to use this inner muscle a little bit more, and you'll discover that these are your true qualities that lie within. And this is what gives you power, capacity, resilience. Thank you. Om Shakti.